So I just wanted to welcome everybody here this morning. Welcome all those that have joined us live online. I want to encourage you, let's get our Bibles out. Let's get into the Word of God this morning. And we're kind of going to be journeying through the book of Luke as we get closer and closer to Christmas. And Pastor Ben and I will be taking turns every Sunday and kind of feeding off each other and hopefully not stealing each other's, you know, message or ideas. So we'll have some fun with that together. Because we didn't want to tell each other what we were going to preach on. We just said, okay, you preach on that block of scripture and just see what comes out and where it goes. So I'm excited for that. So we're in the book of Luke. But I really want to give us just a bit of what we think of the word as context or some background before we read. Because sometimes we just jump into something. We're not like, okay, what's happening here in the story? So we'll stay in Luke. If you got one of those little kind of markers, like just jam it there in Luke. And then we're going to come back there. So let's go back, though, just a few books into the Old Testament, into Malachi. So just right before Matthew, we got Malachi right here. And I want to look at three things today, three different aspects of this story. So I'm about to tell you that there was this long silence before what we're about to read. I want to look at that for a second. Then I want to look at as people encounter angels, how they respond to that. I don't know if you've encountered an angel. Like, feels like that's maybe a bit Old Testament or before our time. I mean, angels are awesome. We love them. And then Mary's response that we're about to read about as well. Her response. We see all these other responses. You and I have a response to the Lord. But what was her response as the Lord showed up? So here we go in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. And so maybe one of the last few things that were said before you get this blank page in your Bible. Old Testament, and there's blank page, New Testament, and then Matthew. We kind of jump in. Matthew isn't really chronologically in order. Luke is so much. So we could read Old Testament, last couple things said, jump into Luke. It just kind of, the story continues. But there is this gigantic, like there's 400-ish years in that blank page. Like there should be a lot of more pages of blankness before, you know, we pick up in Luke. But in Malachi 4, verse 5, it says this. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. So at this point, again, the people were, you know, we've got books, we've got prophets speaking, we've got prophets or prophecies being fulfilled by different people like Daniel at that point. And all of a sudden, it just seems to get quiet for a while. We don't really have a lot of written information about what happened during those hundreds of years, generations of people. And then we start reading in Luke in just a second. So during quiet times, I don't know your quiet time when you're like, man, I've been praying for this for years. I've just been seeking the Lord without answers. Like, what happens for you when it feels quiet, when you feel like your prayers are just kind of hitting the roof and nothing's happening? What do you do during that time? And I want to look at somebody who did, I think, a good job in a sense of writing it down for us. So we go back to Psalm chapter 44. Promise we'll get to Luke. We're going to get there in just a second. But in Psalm 44, let us read the first couple of verses. It says, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what you did in days long ago. And so as a church, when we come on a Sunday morning, we could see historically for 88 years. And so you might be new. You might be like, I don't know much about this church. Or maybe I moved here. Or I moved from churches and now this is my home church. I don't know how faithful God has been over those years. And so when we open this up, we're very encouraged. Now, this is not scripture. Don't, you know, put this on that kind of pedestal or anything. But the history of our church is wonderful. So we can look back on years ago, stories ago, and Wally and Clarence would share them with us, and Laura's of the world would share them with us, what happened back in those kind of days when Trudy Best was doing Sunday school downstairs, and it was actually on the local TV here in this, like, in this community. How cool is that? Like, that's a rich history. That's fun to think about. And so we're encouraged when we hear that, when we read that, what we're about to read here. It would say this in verse 2, with your hand you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the people and made our fathers flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land. Oh, this is so good. It wasn't by them. They didn't do it. Nor with their arm bring the victory. It was who? It was by your right hand, your arm, the light of your face, for you love them. Oh, thank you, God. We just love those kind of scriptures, eh? The thing is, it goes on to say, though, so as he begins processing, he's like, God, you've been so faithful. It's been so good. And then there's a bit of a silence, in a sense, here. So we finish off Psalm 44, just for time's sake. Verse 23, we'll finish off here. It says, awake, O Lord. Why do you sleep? Don't reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and our oppression? We are brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us. Redeem us because of your unfailing love. God, where did you go? And we have those questions. Those are real questions to have. You're allowed to wrestle through that. What you do while you wrestle through that is what's very important. It's what I want to teach us today. In those quiet times, in those silent times, how do you live? Do we just kind of, you know, I don't know where God is. You know, I don't know what he's up to. I'm waiting. We stop praying, stop reading, we stop going to church, we stop fellowshipping. We're like, God's abandoned me. Like, I'm going to abandon him. Like, those are kind of, those are real feelings that you're allowed to have. What you do with them is the most important thing. During those years of silence, they didn't put that time to good use and seek the Lord and prepare themselves for the coming Messiah. They just got quiet. They got complacent. They just started being fellowshipping with the pagan nations. They just started adopting other idols into their lives and stopped seeking God. What's their calling at that point? You think, yeah, it's quiet. Nothing's happening. What they should have been doing is taking the word of God and continuing to teach the story to their kids and to their kids' kids. It's the first time in history, I'll try and just briefly share on this for a second. It's a deep thought. When you think prior to war times, early 1900s, the typical language of the day was like, if you didn't go to church, actually, if you weren't spiritual in some way, you were a little bit odd. Like, the majority of people were just church-going people, all kinds of different denominations. After the wartime, people came back and were like, church wasn't as big of a priority as that. So less and less of the nation went to church, so much so that the next generation, Generation X like myself, didn't go to church. And then my kids didn't go to church. It's the first time in history that there could be a kid alive today struggling with technology, and no one in their generation, no one in their family tree has ever gone to church and ever told them about Christ. That's actually a problem. And that's why we teach the Word of God and we preach the Word of God, and why we think students and young people are so important, because we've got to tell them, because just like this silence time, people stopped telling them. And they got raised in a generation where they've never gone to Sunday, so they don't know it. All they know is what they've heard on the internet and how, you know, bad pastors are all over the internet and all that kind of stuff. That's what they hear. Versus somebody that would teach them about the love of God, the history that God has brought their family through, the compassion and all those kind of things that a generation needs to hear. All they desperately need to hear, hope that there's a future, that they were born and were raised for a reason, they're not an accident, all these kind of things. They should have been teaching, but they didn't. So when we jump into the story, you've got to kind of get a bit of a sense of that, like, okay, and then this is said in Luke. And this is why it is such good news to us. It's like, oh, there God had a plan the whole time, even though it seemed like he didn't, or he was just quiet and at distance. So in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, this is the meat of the message that we're to hone in on. So in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. And again, you think back to, you know, prophets and angels were all working, and then there's this silence, and then we start seeing it feels like God is on the move again. In verse 27, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you. I think like all of us, if an angel shows up, like angels are majestic and holy, I think I would be a little like, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, because he could see probably in her face, she was a little bit worried, don't be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with the Lord. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the throne of the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Her response to that, there's a bit of fear. She's not sure. She doesn't question. She says, how can this be? She has, like, she questions it, but not negatively. She says, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant. Listen to her response. Mary answered, may it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. So there's this interaction that goes on with an angel. There's some moving parts there. Here's the 3 things that happen I think are super important for us to take away. There was some fear. It's a little bit like, I'm not sure. It's an angel, intimidating, or what he's saying is, I'm not sure. Then I have a question. It's okay to question. You're actually allowed to question God. Say, God, I do feel afraid. I do feel scared. I don't know what's happening. This world seems out of control. These things that are presenting themselves, I got to interact with that are real. I don't understand that. God, I have a question. You're allowed to ask God questions. I think it's a good response. And when he speaks to you and he gives you an answer, that's super important. That's where you need to obey. Because otherwise, you're fearful. God, I have questions. God, what are you doing up there? What's going on? And then all of a sudden, you just go off with your life. When he speaks to you, he gives you the answer. Then you go, I now release that. I now let that go. Let your will be done. You have a plan, not my plan. Your will be done. We've got to do that. Those are super important. That's why Mary is such a great person, why I think the Lord chose her, because of her obedience like that. I want to show you 2 other stories in the Bible where when people interacted with angels, they didn't respond well. And I think we can all be guilty of that at times. When God is speaking to us, it might seem overwhelming. It might seem like there's no way, God, I could never do that, or things like that. And so let's look at that. Genesis chapter 18, let's go back to the very first book. Great story back here of Abraham and Sarah. And you will see kind of immediately as we pick up the story, just a bit of context here, Abraham's having a conversation with some angels, or it says the Lord here really clearly in verse 9. Where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said, Abraham said. Then the Lord said, I think that's really clear, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out, this body is exhausted. It's near the end, and my master is very old. Like, that's not going to be helpful. Will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year. Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I didn't laugh. But the angel or the Lord said, yes, you did laugh. Do you see that interaction there where God is speaking and our natural physical eyes, our natural physical interpretation, our mind thinks it's actually not possible. What you're saying is physically impossible. There's no way that that could happen. You know, when you get to a certain age, all that kind of menopause kicks in, all kind of stuff like, this body is not producing a kid. It's just physically impossible. And so what is God asking you to do? What does God in your life ask you to do that you could look back on and you could say, it actually seemed impossible back then, but it seems possible now. Or God has done something in me that I'm doing now that there was no way on God's green earth that it was ever going to be you going to get picked to do what you're doing, because it's only God that brought you to that place, because you couldn't do it on your own. That's a wonderful place to be at, to look back and go, God, it was you all the way along, because I would have made a mess of it. Or actually, I have made a mess of it, but the Lord's been gracious and helped me through that. In this story as well, though, we've got to see some of these moving parts here. Because in that moment, as Abraham is hearing from the angel, hearing from the Lord, you know, he's questioning the Lord or questioning the angels, which he allowed to do. But then he probably tells Sarah, like, Sarah, this is going to happen. And she's like any good wife would be like to a husband, you've had a lot of weird ideas over the years. You've had a lot of dumb ideas over the years, and none of them have, you know, some of them haven't come to be. So be gentle right now, please. But when he feels like the Lord has spoken to him, and he feels like he's doing what God has commanded to him to do, support him. Don't laugh at him. I want you to feel that, because I've felt so supported by my wife, Amelie, over the years. That when I would go to her, I'd say, Amelie, I'm feeling this way. Would you please pray with me, and let's seek the Lord together and what I feel like the Lord's saying to us. Be a support, because that's what's important in this story. We don't laugh and like just write it off. We support each other and we encourage one another. I want to look at another story. We were already there, so let's go right back to Luke. And so just prior to this story, we know that it was written about Zechariah and Elizabeth, about them birthing John the Baptist. So let's just read a bit of that together, because it's fascinating stuff. So in verse 11 of Luke chapter 1, it says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Now, I just got to ask a question there, because we're about to find out that they are old in years as well. Like, how long were they praying? Like, Lord, I need a son. I have no son. And then at some point, did they stop praying? And then the Lord shows up and says, I heard your prayer. And the Lord's outside of time. He's not like, I heard your prayer a long time ago, and now I'm here to answer your prayer. He's like, I heard your prayer. Not a deep thought. That whenever you pray, the Lord's listening. And whenever the answer comes, it's in the Lord's timing. So keep praying. Isn't that I love words like that. Just so much fun. Prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Oh, what a promise, man. Oh, just pray for that for our kids. They would just be birthed with the Holy Spirit, and they'd just be on fire for the Lord. Many of the people of Israel will bring back to the Lord their God. And listen to the words here, because it is saying, it's mirroring, it's fulfilling what was said in Malachi. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. I mean, we just read that. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? And again, we know this. I am old. I'm an old man, all wrinkly. And my wife is well along in years. There's just no way. God is just, what are you talking about? It's impossible to do here. And so we see the response again. We see Zechariah going, there's an angel show up, like, whoa, there's a bit of fear. Starts asking some questions. God gives him the answer. And how does he respond? He says, God, I'm old. I don't know how this is ever going to work. This is so contrary to how Mary responded. Didn't we see that? She believed the angel's words and agreed to birth the child. Even under humanly impossible circumstances, God's able to do the impossible. She didn't laugh. She didn't doubt. She was willing and obedient. She said, yep, let it be so, Lord. In these three different stories, if you think about in Scripture, you've got Old Testament, Abraham, Sarah. I think it's really important for us to understand the Old Testament. I think it's really important for us to understand how that all fits together in the New Testament, Zechariah and Elizabeth. You know, they were husband and wife. There was a spouse, you know, in the mix here. Mary is alone. Mary is a virgin, and you know, she could have a question, you know, like, how is this even going to be a part? You know, we're not even married, like, this is going to be awkward. How is this going to work out? But she just responds in obedience. She says, let it be done to me. That God is promising her, and she doesn't question or push back. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Oh, I pray that we as a church would be like that. I pray that we as individuals would be like that. Lord, whatever your will is, let it be done through this church. Let it be done in each one of us personally. We want to be obedient to Christ. We want to hear from God. And when we hear from God, we want to respond without laughter and judgment and doubt. We want to respond with faith and obedience. And yes, Lord, amen. Sign me up. So let's look at just a little bit deeper into Mary's response, because that's really the heart of this thing here. So you've got a young, unmarried girl, and at that point she was young. She was a girl, just teenager-ish, and became pregnant. She really risked a lot by saying that. She just, easy, like, Lord, I'm all in. And so we've said that before, Lord, I'm all in. And then all of a sudden, now you have to live it out. You actually have to care. You can't, Lord, I'm all in. You just go put it down over there. And you're just like, okay, forget about that thought. Don't do that. That sounds crazy. You can't do it. You got, Lord, I'm all in, and now I got to go live it. I got to go say it. I got to do something about it. There's an action to this thing. And so we see Mary do this. Again, she's fatherless. She's only engaged at that point. If her own father rejected her, she said, look, you're pregnant. We don't know who the husband is of this thing. She could be, sold into slavery. She could be begging for money. She could go into prostitution to take care of herself in order to take over her own needs. The father of the child, could have just disowned her. And if that happened, Mary was pledged to be married. This is a bit wordy here. If Joseph said, this is crazy, I'm out of this picture, she would never marry again. That's just the rules of the land. Mary herself, in a sense, being pregnant, saying, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit, they might say, you need to go in the cuckoo bin, because that's a bit weird. It's a bit crazy. God's done some cool things in the past, but what you're talking about, Mary, is completely out to lunch. We need to get you on some medication over there, because that's just not, common sense. And Mary risks all of that. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. She didn't know about the tremendous opportunity that she just said yes to. So often we're caught up in fear and worry about how God's going to use us. I don't want to go overseas to Africa, to the mission field, right? We get all worried and thinking God's going to do something just radical that we don't want to do. But the reality is that God is giving you a great opportunity in your obedience to him, because he wants you to follow his ways. And that's where the sweet spot is. That's where you'll find joy and peace and comfort in your life. Because you'll be like, that's what I was designed to do. I'm excited to do it. And are we willing to do that? We want to be obedient like that. And so often, don't we analyze, and I love facts, I love numbers, I love analyzing, and kind of like, okay, if I do this, and I make that, and I save this, and by the end, it'll be like this, the bottom line. Woo! Lots of green and lots of zeros. And so often in life, God isn't like that. He's like, I want you to be obedient. God, what does that look like? I have a question. God's like, I'm not giving you the answer. Just do it. God, what happens if it doesn't work out? Or what happens if things don't line up? And all of a sudden we stop doing it because we ask too many questions. We should just say yes. God, because you have a plan. God's speaking to me. Oh, yay. I'm listening. Yay. And then we stop there. Why would we do that? Don't we pray for that? Oh, God, speak to me and use me. He speaks to you, and then we freak out. That's crazy. No, I wouldn't do that. God, what are you talking about? You want me to buy a pie for how much at the end of the service? No, I wouldn't do that. That's nuts. What are you talking about? It's my wallet, leaving it. I'm just planting seeds. I apologize. Rabbit trail there. Let's get back to the story. Verse 38 again. When it says, I am the Lord's servant, when we read this in my translation here, the 1984 NIV, which is the best translation in the, just so you know, I'm just going with that one. other translations say it in this capacity, especially in older King James and the original kind of text here that we got to understand. It says this, it says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. So when Mary is given all that information, she says, behold the Lord, and I am his handmaid. She comes submissive to God's will and the faith of the promise that has been given to her. She's submissive, she's obedient, and it's like saying the same thing as, I fully acknowledge all that is said, I fully acknowledge everything that is said right here, and I am perfectly ready to obey all the commands that the Lord has for me. I'm willing to be obedient to every time God speaks to me. I'm willing to say yes to every time God leads me or pushes me in a direction. That's what Mary was saying. So it's not just about like, let it be done. You know, Lord, it's a, you know, I'm kind of half in. I'm like, I get it. I'm going to be obedient. Mary's response is just, there's so many layers to that response. And I don't have time to show you all the different scriptures where that kind of thought is being shared, that I come humbly, I come submissive. Everything that you said, everything that you want to do with me, I will be obedient to that. She expresses her obedience of faith. She owns herself to the handmaid of the Lord and desires to be obedient to it. I just want you to understand the significance of that word, not to just kind of read over it. Like, we know Mary was good, but it is just, they're so deep and so rich about how much that means. Because do you know where else that thought is shared? I want to just share this just in closing, just with a couple, just a closing thought here real quick. Now, this won't inhabit or interfere with our messages here, I promise, Pastor Ben. But we are going to just kind of skip ahead in Luke chapter 22. This is near the end of a certain person's life that she had birthed. She birthed Jesus, and Jesus walked around. And near the end when, and I'm not saying Jesus was afraid or, it does say, though, that he was in agony during the end. When his time has come and he was to go to the cross, it says he was in agony and he prayed and, you know, like blood was sweating out of him. He said, you know, God, if you could take this cup away, let it be done. But if not, this is what Jesus says here in Luke 22:42. Yet not my will, but yours be done, Lord. This is the same terminology here that we see in Mary. Lord, I don't understand it all. I don't have all the answers, but God, you're in control. I don't want to be in control. You've got it perfectly laid out for me. I want to be obedient to that. Whatever that looks like, wherever you take me, however you want to use me, I want to be obedient to that. So we see the heart in Mary. We see, obviously, the heart of God through Jesus in the same capacity. God, I got to give it all up to the Lord. The Lord is in control. I want to be obedient to him. I hope that makes sense to you. Just my kind of final encouragement is just that thought again, is that as things are shared and you are fearful and worried and you're not sure what it looks like, those are real emotions that we have. But what is the, you know, the negative or the thing that we would do wrong would to just be camp there and just be fearful and not give it to the Lord. What you're allowed to do again is talk to God. You know, we often talk to each other, don't we, when things are tough, right? We say, hey, there's this thing going on, and you share, you converse with one another. That's good. Do that. But make sure you converse with the Lord, because the Lord actually has the answer for you. The Lord wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you. And then as you hear from him, oh, be obedient. You know, as we think about this Christmas season and we think about, hey, we know the Lord. We're grateful. We know why he came. We have that reassurance and that answer. Tons and tons and hundreds and millions of people don't have that reassurance and they don't have that answer. Be a blessing of obedience when God puts you in a conversation or a relationship to pray, to speak, to invite, whatever that looks like. Oh, I just pray that we would be an obedient church to him. If we do anything right in 2024, let's just be, you know, here's a vision and a goal for our church. Let's just be a church that is led and guided by him, an obedient, willing to serve church. I pray that in Jesus' name. Let me close in a prayer. Lord, it just reassures me of everything that I face, that I have confidence that you are in control as we look at your word, that you've been so faithful over all the years, that we have this reassurance that you're in complete control, even when things are silent, even when we feel distant from you, as we just learned about. Father, I thank you that you saw humanity, you saw me, you saw each person, and that we were separated from you because of our sin. And you had mercy and compassion. And you said, I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send a redeemer. I'm going to send somebody that's going to bridge that gap for us. And so I pray that we would receive that wholeheartedly. As Mary did, she said, yes and amen. I will, and let your will be done in me and through me. And so thank you for this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen.